You guys probably have never heard the name Rick Norsigian. I'm not saying that right, but it doesn't matter. He's Rick from here out. Rick was browsing a garage sale nearly two decades ago. He's a commercial artist, and he bought two boxes of glass plate photography negatives. He spent $45 on them simply because he was drawn to some of the images. Some of the images were of Yosemite, and he once worked there. He got home with them, and he did some research, and he realized that these negatives very well may be the work of a famed landscape photographer named Ansel Adams. Dozens of professionals have weighed in to authenticate the works, including a former FBI agent, a handwriting expert, and a meteorologist who compared the clouds in the photos to known works by Adams, thought to have been shot around the same time. Rick is expected to earn approximately $200 million from the sales of those prints over the next 25 years. Now, you and I hear stories like that, and first thought is, wow, where are these garage sales? And the second thought is, how bad does that person that was running the garage sale feel when and if they found out that they were sitting on a fortune and they sold it for $45? Now, as the Passover approaches, I want this message to remind us to recognize the magnitude of the sacrifice that was made for us, and that we must be ready to sacrifice everything to be part of God's family. The first scripture is 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, and you probably don't need to turn there because you may know it by heart. This is from Paul. He says, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God owns us, not just because he created us, he also paid a price for us, and not just any price, but the most valuable price imaginable, the death of his son. This is the season that we remind ourselves the price that God paid and how that sacrifice gives us a path to salvation. That's what makes this possible. We need to ask ourselves, how much do we value that sacrifice? If we were running the garage sale, what do you value in your life so much that you would be willing to give it for just a chance at that salvation? What is your price? Is it $1 million or $10 million, $100 million, $200 million, like in Rick's case? Is it your house, your job, or your car? Or just your lifestyle? Is it 30 pieces of silver? Or maybe one last glance back at Sodom and Gomorrah? Or a bowl of bean soup? Of course, I'm referencing with those last ones just little instances in the Bible where people leveraged a lot for a little. Is your price a weakness, an addiction? Or maybe even just a one-time little bitty compromise. Or maybe it's a fear. Or is the price that you're willing to pay your life, meaning everything? Would you give up your life to preserve your chance at salvation? Are you and I, are we ready and willing to be martyrs? In this season, there is often a lot of focus on self-examination. That's what it should be. Are we being honest with ourselves about the fact that we may have put a price on that salvation? Because if there's anything that you're not willing to give up to achieve it, then you are for sale. And Satan is the only one that's bidding the currency that you truly value. If you and I are going to be truth tellers, children of the one true God, and a bright, shining city on a hill, then our price must be everything we have. because the enemy will seek out our price, entice us with the fulfillment of our carnal desires, corrupt our hearts, corrupt our minds, and lead us down the path to our own eternal demise. Now, I'm not trying to make this message about salvation by grace or salvation by works, but I did think it was interesting in the process I went through putting this message together. I came across a video online entitled How to Fall from Grace. This is on a channel that had over 200,000 followers. Of course, they may not all think this way. The description of this video, it's still a sizable following. The description of this video says that the speaker in this video teaches through the Bible, and this is in quotations, teaches through the Bible about the sin of keeping the law. On the list of ways that you can fall from grace are getting circumcised to conform to the law, which of course gains you nothing in God's eyes, but it's not a sin. Second on the list is observing the Sabbath and holy days. The third is abstaining from things unclean under the law, clean and unclean meats. That actually kind of made it in two items. I combined them. Or the fourth item, exalting the law to a place of prominence. So, if that's what this man calls falling from grace, I'd like to know how I can fall faster. But what a trick. Satan has convinced unknown multitudes that it displeases God to do what he asks of us, even so far as dismissing the fourth of Ten Commandments. So thoroughly, Satan has deceived them that they condemn the efforts. So thoroughly, Satan has deceived them that they condemn the efforts of their fellow Christians that are convicted that God did not do away with those elements of the law through the sending of his Son, the Messiah, and his subsequent death and resurrection. Like I said, that was a little bit of an aside, but I thought it was a little bit pertinent, so I kept it in. This message is actually about recognizing the frivolity of this earth and the futility of this physical life. Are we choosing God over the world? If you look up the definition of fall from grace, you will find it defined as to lose favor or position of power or honor. Or, this calls out, it says, in the Christian context, to descend from a state of divine behavior into sin. I'm not sure how you define sin. If the Ten Commandments are out, it all gets real muddy. I don't know how they do it, but a lot of them do it. Paul explained that anyone could fall from grace, even he himself could. And we all know what Paul went through. He was the apostle to the Gentiles and was mightily used by God, yet he realized the potential for losing the condition of grace given to him from God. He explained this using the analogy of an athlete competing for a prize in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25 through 27, if you want to turn there. It's in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 to start. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjugation, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. As I wrap this sermonette up, I want to remind you of a few facts that you probably already know or have a general idea of. Matthew, from the Bible, first book of the Bible, was killed by a sword for preaching in Ethiopia. Mark, died in Alexandria after being dragged through the city. Luke was hung from an olive tree in Greece. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded in Jerusalem. James the Less, that's Jesus' brother, was thrown from the temple wall and then stoned to death because he survived the fall. Philip was beaten, thrown in prison, and then hanged. Simon the Zealot was sawn in half. Andrew was bound to a cross with ropes and left to die by exposure. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Thomas was run through with a lance. Matthias was stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas was stoned to death by Jews in Thessalonica. Paul was beheaded in Rome. Peter was crucified upside down. These men were not without faults. They were sinners like you and I. But they were mighty for God, and they had many opportunities to denounce their faith and live out their days in comfortable obscurity. But they chose to stay true and endure these horrible deaths because they saw the value of what Christ had offered them and knew that nothing, not even their own life, was worth denying that. So I ask you, how prepared are you for this year's Passover? None of us are worthy. No one is worthy. But each of us must take the time to reflect on what Christ did for all of us. The task is humbling, painful, and often discouraging, but we can take comfort in this final scripture. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.